A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. A very good to you, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listener. Thank you for joining us this morning and welcome to Eagle FM. This is The Eye. So it's a pleasure being in your company this morning, and thank you, Dr. David, crossing over, you know, the mic on this side of the world. It's a Thursday morning, the 15th of January. We're already in the middle of the month. So the year is not, 2026 is not playing, man. It's already 15th of January. So we're getting there. It's already, you know, we are already in the middle of the month. So good morning to you. How are you doing this morning? Wherever you find yourself in this beautiful, beautiful land of the brave. So we welcome you. So wherever you're listening us from, and we're encouraging you that wherever you are and you're not, having the frequency and you're listening us from the frequency, make sure that you download, the mobile app, the Eagle FM mobile app, so you will be able to connect and listen to Eagle FM at any time, wherever you may find yourself, even outside of the country. That happened to me. I was out of the country for a few days, and I will still be able to follow my favorite programs, you know, on Eagle FM. So, yeah, make sure that you download the app for you to remain connected and listen to your favorite station. And on top of that, there's so many features that you may get that is on the app. So make sure that you download it. So welcome. At our time, it's about 5 minutes past the hour of 8. And my name is Mike Oshoveli. And this is Unpacking the Day. So this is your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, finance, and politics. Every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always ask the questions. All right. What is happening here? Okay, let's start by looking at turning the clock all the way back to 1966. On this day, a group of young Nigerian army officers led by Major named Kaduna Ziogwu did something that would change the course of their nation histories forever. They launched Nigeria's very first military coup. That was the very first Nigeria military coup. In a series of coordinated attacks, they overthrew the civilian government. Tragically, several key political leaders, including the Prime Minister, say Abubakar Tafawa Balewa, were assassinated. So this single event marked the end of Nigeria's first republic and kicked off a long period of political instability that would shape the country for decades to come. And believe it or not, the very same day, but 15 years later, is the date that marks the end of another chapter in Nigerian's history. So on January the 15th in 1970, the Nigerian Civil War, often called the Biafran War, formally came to a close. Now, after three brutal years of fighting that began when the region of Biafra tried to secede, the Biafran forces finally surrendered. So this surrender, I think this surrender brought Biafra back into Nigeria and ended a conflict that had caused men's suffering. So today in Nigeria, this day is observed as a Armed Forces Remembrance Day to honor all those who actually served. So now let's move from West Africa to the southern part of the continent in Malawi. Today is a public holiday, John Chilembwe Day. Today is a John Chilembwe Day in Malawi. So who was John Chilembwe? Who was John Chilembwe? He was a courageous man and an early hero in the fight for freedom way back during the First World War. He led an army uprising against British colonial rule in what was then called Nyasaland. So while the uprising was crushed, Chilembwe is remembered as a foundational figure in Malawi's journey to independence. And finally, we remember a more sober event on this day in 1996. Where am I? You know, in 1996, the Mountain Kingdom of Lesotho mourned the loss of its king, King Moshoeshoe the Second. He died in a car accident in the Maloti Mountains. King Moshoeshoe was hugely important figure in modern Lesotho, guiding the country as it gained independence from Britain. So, and that's your journey through history for today on this day in Africa. So, welcome, good morning, and this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, and today is the 15th of January on Thursday. What is our thought for the day? What is our thought for the day today? There is no pride like that of a beggar grown rich. There is no pride like that of a beggar grown rich. I can just imagine. I can just tell. So what this means, the proverb actually means that when someone who was once poor or socially low status suddenly becomes wealthy or successful, they often display a very strong sense of pride or self-importance. When we take a nice stand up, you know? And sometimes more than actually those who were never poor. So, in other words, a person who's experienced, a person who experienced hardship may become especially eager to show off their new wealth or status, right? And their pride can be particularly visible or exaggerated because the contrast between their past hardship and present success feels so dramatic to them, you know? And so this proverb actually warns against excessive pride, especially pride born out of a change in circumstances rather than a long-held achievement or merit. So, yeah, so there is no pride like that of a beggar grown rich. So, well, hopefully in the choices and decision that you make, shouldn't be really much exaggerated to show your new success or your new achievement. Display that very strong sense of pride or self-importance. So be humble, you know. All right. So that's our thought for the day. There is no pride like that of a beggar grown rich. So welcome, and thanks for joining us. So today, what we expect to what we expect, what you can wait, what you can expect in the show this morning. We're going to look at, there is this new policy, maybe it's a policy, an announcement by the Ministry of Agriculture, by the Minister of Agriculture. So the fishing industry, there's a kind of like a shake-up in the ministry industry, introduce a performance scorecard to decide who stay and who goes. So we're going to look at that. It might be affecting you as a fishing right holders, as a fish, you know, as a right holders. So we're going to look at that. And the also, there's something, if we have time, we're going to look at that as well. It's the Emerging Mining, the Emerging Mining Association of Namibia, EMAN, advocate for local geological and certification services. We're also going to look at that if we have time. And your participation. So your participation will also be part of the show, definitely. So you will be welcome to come through and share your opinion and your contribution on the show. So good morning and welcome, and we will be back in a second.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma kwa nara heta tuimu. Datu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, this is The Eye, and this is Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, welcome to your number one talk radio station. And good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this land of the brave. Where are you listening us from? So where are you listening us from? Are you listening us from? So from Kavango, the great Kavango, the Kavango West, that have done very well in the results that was just announced yesterday. So yeah, Kavango, how are you doing? And also, yeah, I'm very disappointed in our region. Really, really disappointing. Something need to be done. That's disappointing for Shana region, really. So good morning and welcome. So yeah, the fishing industry, there is a shake-up in a fishing industry, a performance scorecard, which will now definitely decide, you know, who stays and who goes. Okay, first off, we got a major announcement from the fishery minister, Inge Damwani. The minister has revealed that a new performance-based scorecard system is being rolled out. You know, and it's about to change the game of, you know, for fishing right holders in Namibia. So in a nutshell, this system is going to evaluate how well fishing companies are doing. So every fishing right holder will be assessed on their performance over a period of time. So it's a kind of like a report card where you now, fortunately enough, here is where you are grading yourself. So you grade yourself. So, but there is a trick. Okay. Here's the trick. So if you score too low, say goodbye to your fishing rights. Yeah. So if you score too low, you're going to say goodbye to your fishing rights. So no more this, automatic renewals. So according to the ministry, so there will be no, this automatic renewal, no more freebies, for some companies, you know, you have been in the game for 10 years, but if you can't prove that you are contributing meaningfully to the sector, so you could be out of the game in 2027. So, and let's talk about now the bigger, let's focus now on the bigger picture here. So let's look at the bigger picture, because over the years, fishing rights in Namibia have been allocated to more and more companies. Okay. Some of this was deliberate. After independence, there was a push to transform the industry, to bring in previous disadvantaged Namibians. And that's where also, you know, things started happening. So the idea was to spread the wealth beyond the big established companies. So that was the idea. And the idea was, it was a noble goal. That was still a noble goal. It was more economic empowerment. Economic empowerment is critical in a country with our history at that point in time. So, but the truth is, good intention don't always translate into good outcomes sometimes. So what we have seen in some cases, is a phenomenon, what is called, paper quota, you know, what was referred to as a paper quota. Company get allocated fishing rights, but they don't have, so they have the right, the fishing right. They allocated the fishing right, but they don't have the vessels, the equipment, the expertise to actually harvest the fish themselves. So they have nada, nothing. Eh? So what do they do? So they sell or lease their quota to big companies, and they become a middleman, you know, they become middlemen, the middlemen that, you know, the government want to get rid of now. So they become middlemen, taking cut without actually adding value. Yeah. So, and this is, well, it's not really illegal per se. It's not illegal per se. But it defeats the purpose of the allocation system. So definitely it defeats what the purpose of the allocation system. It concentrate economic power back in the hands of few big players, while creating an illusion of a broader based participation. Because the whole idea was actually, you know, to distribute, make it exactly what the whole system is trying to address, you know, the allocation system trying to address. Now you're creating an illusion of a broader based participation, but you know that's not the case. So yeah, the minister called this out indirectly when she talked about differentiating between now those who are adding value to our resources and those who are not. So think about it from a national interest perspective. So we have, and for any resources, you know, as I said, think it in terms of our resources or national interest perspective. So we have infinite resources. Not infinite, sorry. We have finite. We have finite resources. We have limited resources in whatever. So fish stocks are under pressure globally. So not only Namibia. So every source that you have, it's actually finite. It can, you can, if you exhausted it, it can get finished, can get depleted. So, and there are other challenges that create that situation, you know. There are stock are under pressure, as I said, globally. You know, climate change is affecting marine ecosystem, you know. So we have to reduce our total, how do they call them, our total allowance catch several times in recent years, because scientists warned that we were overfishing. So you understand? So yeah, in 2020, for example, in 2024, our TAC, our total allowable catches, so what is those figures? You know, the, yeah, where is my figure? So now in 2024, our total allowable catch was set at 438,000 metric tons, you know, down from 457,000 in 2023. So that is a reduction of nearly 20,000 tons. So for the 2025 to 2026, hay quotas were cut to 133,000 tons. So every reduction means less fish to go around, you know? So if you have 462, we have about 462 right holders competing for this now, this shrinking resources. So something has to give. Something has to give. That's why you constantly have those reductions. Somehow something has to give. Now, the minister uses an analogy, a football analogy. Okay? So, and when the resources become limited, you differentiate between those who must now continue to play and those who are the weak links, you know, the weakest link. So you substitute them and bring in the new players. So, yeah. But here's also the question, okay? Yeah, here's also the question that analogy raises. So who are the new players? Is this system designed now just to, maybe just to weed out underperformers? Or is it also designed to make room for new entrants? So should we have we have always the same people that we have, same company that we have for years and years? Or should it also be designed to make room for the new entrants? We also want some quotas. Yeah? So the difference probably also want a quota, you know, you want also to have, you know, fishing right. So, you know, Tate Kauruma ore. Tate Kauruma na pamone shingodo dreku feeding on kundawai. So, you know, should it also, you know, when we're talking about, looking at the analogy that the minister used, you know, so it should also design to make room for the new entrants. So if it is the later, then who decided who the new entrants are? And here we're talking about transparency. You know, this is where transparency becomes absolutely critical. And we know what happened in the past because Namibia has a history. We have a history and we need to be honest about it. So the fish rot scandals, you know, which broke in 2019, exposed how fishing rights were allegedly, I'm using the word allegedly, sold for bribes. So it is very, 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 it's an area where we, you know, we should trade carefully, you know. So, yeah, you remember the official, the high-ranking officials were accused of taking millions of dollars, you know, to allocate quotas to foreign companies. So, and that case is still winding through the courts, but the damage, I mean, the damage has been, I mean, the damage to public trust was done already. So, yeah, I think that's a question one can ask. And the issue of transparency is very, 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 very important. So to many Namibians, especially, you know, when it comes to fishing. So when the minister talk about introducing an objective, transparent system, many Namibians are going to say, well, prove it, you know, prove it. Show us that this is not just another opportunity for corruption. Show us, you know, show us that the scorecard criteria are genuine measures of performance, not tools for political favoritism, you know. So, yeah, show us that the new players getting rights are legitimate businesses. Not funds for a well-connected individuals. So, as I said, trust has to be earned, especially now. Trust has to be earned, especially given what happened in, especially in this sector, and in an industry worth billions, with a history of scandals. Definitely, the bar for earning that trust is very, 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 very higher. So, yeah. So now, so that's one area that that we need to look out. The minister talked about. She also talked about. The minister also announced tighter regulation when it comes to baycatch. This is something that has been going on for years, really, seriously. And for those of you who might not know, the baycatch refer to fish that are caught unintentionally while getting other species. So we have all heard of the issues around overfishing. But baycatch is a huge problem too. It's a huge problem, and it has been around for quite a while now. Now, Damwani pointed out that some fishing operators have repeatedly been caught in act of catching fish they are not licensed to catch. And this includes a valuable species like, you know, the kingfish, you know, Shidahona, they are the one that, you know, they are fishing, you know, the fish, they are catching fish that they shouldn't. And those are reserved for, you know, for the kings and the queens of Spain, you know, where do we ship this fish, you know? Kingfish and horse mackerel, you know? Yeah. So, and let me forget, these illegal catches don't come cheap. They don't come cheap. They end up in the market as profit, you know? They catch all these fish and then when, you know, and they come. So, we don't even afford them. You know, they're extremely expensive when we see them in the shops. So, yeah, and then they make profit from the wrong people. Yeah. So now the ministry is tightening now the screws by implementing a new rule. Yeah. If a fishing vessel catches more than the allowed baycatch, that excess will be confiscated. It will be confiscated. No more turning a blind eye, according to the minister. No more turning the blind eye or letting these extra fish go to profit. So now the question is how much baycatch is acceptable. So now for years, Namibia allowed baycatch up to 5% of your catch. All right. And the companies were really making a lot of money out of that because the penalty was really peanut. You know, they didn't care because the what you're going to make out of that was a lot. So last year, the government reduced that to that 5% to 2%. And now the minister has announced even stricter enforcement. Any catch exceeding the allowed threshold will be surrendered to the government. Uh-huh. And then what is the government going to do? To the person, sometimes like it would be, we said surrender to the government. And what does they do? The person who actually got those one, they end up actually selling them. Yeah. So it will be confiscated. You won't get to sell it. And you won't profit from it anymore. So as a right holder. So the minister said, and I quote unquote, we understand that sometimes it is impossible to avoid bait catches. But if you notice that in a certain, now this is interesting, that if you notice that in a certain area, you are catching more kingfish, while you are targeting hake, you're finding that you are catching more kingfish. So the responsible action is to pick up your net and move elsewhere. So that's what the minister is saying. I'm unquote. So, but if you find that, hey, you are in the area where the kingfish are, and the mackerels are, get off there, go and look for what you are licensed for. So that's what the minister is actually saying. But the fishing industry says that's not possible. Now the fishing industries are saying, minister, that is not possible. Do you have an idea how does this work anyway? So that's what they are questioning the minister. So 4 months ago, the Confederation of Namibian Fishing Association, the CNFA, pushed back hard against the 2% rule. Their chairperson, Matiamkwa, raised several concerns, said, Minister, you don't seem to understand what is going on. So first, your limit is not clear. It's unclear. So you say 2%. Is 2% per what? Per vessel? Is it 2% per species? Is it 2% annually? What happened with the seasonal variations? Some species coexist. Some species coexist with the targeted fish. Now, accident, there's no way you can separate them. Because maybe some fish actually feed on those fish. And they follow those. So some species coexist with the target fish and are impossible to separate until they are caught. So you caught it, you throw back them in the sea. It's simple. You caught them, you throw them back in the sea. This is not what you are licensed to. Throw them back. Isn't it? Now, they're saying, well, so your 2% is not very clear. So whether it's 2% on the vessel, is 2% on the species, 2% annually, what is the 2% for? All right. And second, different fishing sectors encounter different bait catch species. Some have no quotas at all, and some are low value fish that wouldn't normally be harvested. So what do you do with this? What do you do with those? So those are some of the questions now. Then thirdly, this is crucial. So seasonal bait catch is unavoidable. All right. Amqua now pointed out that a vessel might land more than 2% of a species over a few months and none for the rest of the year. So now fish don't distribute themselves evenly across the ocean throughout the year. They follow, they migrate, and they move. So you may not actually catch any more the bait catch. Okay? So they migrate, they move, they follow food sources and temperature patterns. So, yeah. So they said, well, this, you know, there are so many complex factors, you know, than just throwing a 2%, you know, so one size fit all 2% rule. It doesn't really account for ecological realities. So they are not happy. They are not happy with the new 2% bait catch rule. They argue that it's too rigid and it doesn't account for the complexities of fishing. So it doesn't really understand the complexities of fishing. Now, the CNFA, the Confederation is calling for more flexibility and clear guidance. More flexibility and clear guidance. But they are concerned. So when you think of what they said, are their concerns valid? Or is this just an attempt to sidestep accountability? So think about it. All right. And discuss about it. Okay. That's why this is unpacking. Do you think their concern is valid? Or this is maybe just an attempt to sidestep? Kind of like, you know, you don't want to take accountability. So, all right. So, and who is right? Who is right? This is where it gets a little bit, you know, confusing or complicated. You know, on one hand, you have a minister saying, which is all right, we need accountability. Exactly. So we have a minister say, hey, we need an accountability. So we need to protect our fish stock, which is very important. You know, we need to protect our fish stock. We need to ensure fishing rights benefit Namibians, and companies that don't perform should make a way for others who will. So sounds reasonable from the ministry, from the minister. And on the other hand, you have an industry saying, we want to follow the rules. Okay? We want to follow the rules, but the rules need to be practical. The rules need to be practical. Fishing is complex. That's what they said. Fishing is complex. Bait catch happens. So you can't apply one size fit all solution to something as unpredictable as the ocean. You know, you got no idea what is up there. Eh? And let me ask you this, okay? Let me ask you this. So is the government being too harsh? You know, do you think the government is being too harsh? Or has the fishing industry, been getting away with too much for too long? I think they have been getting away with too much for too long. So I want, you know, this, my fish in the sea, that's also my fish, that's your fish, you know, to benefit me. Are we benefiting from this? Eh? So, yeah, that's the question. You know, do you think, is the government being too harsh? Do you think the government is being too harsh? Or has the fishing industry been getting away with too much for too long? So, that's for us to discuss when you come through, which I will open up my lines in a short while. So, now, what is really at stake here? Okay, let's look at this more critical. What is at stake here? That's why I said this is my fish. Fishing is one of Namibia's most important economic sector. You know, this is a very, very, very important economic sector. It brings in foreign currency and it creates jobs. It creates jobs directly and indirectly. It feeds our people. But the truth is, for years, there have been complaints that fishing rights are concentrated in too few hands. You know, these rights. That quotas are not being used to maximum benefit. It's not being used to the maximum benefit. So that foreign companies are taking Namibian fish and processing it elsewhere. Depriving us job, isn't it? I think that's what something, what was that David was talking about? At that split of a second, I just remember something he said when I wanted making an example of that, it just disappeared. How funny is that? Or maybe, Mark, you're getting old. You are getting old, definitely. All right. Now, so yeah, it's depriving us of job because things, they are not, the processing is done elsewhere. And value addition that we keep talking about. So, yeah, those are some ways. And this scorecard system, and this Baywatch regulation are part of the broader question. Who should our fish benefit? Who should our fish benefit? And how do we ensure that happens? How do we ensure that happens? So basically, as I said, this is it's trying to address this question, who our fish should benefit and how do we make that happen? So maybe the bycatch rule, the regulations that the minister is coming up with and the scorecard systems. So it's trying to address some of these questions. So if a company have held fishing rights for 10 years and haven't created significant job or value at all, should they keep those rights? Or should new player actually get a chance? I would say the latter. As the example the minister have given earlier on an analogy of a football, you know, if the player is not playing well, put them on the bench. And in this time, you're not renewing their rights, you know? Their fishing rights. So, and if companies are consistently catching fish they aren't not licensed for, is that just an unfortunate reality of fishing? Would you just say that's an unfortunate reality of fish? And you know, we are not benefiting anything from this because only the company actually benefiting from that. Is that unfortunate reality of fishing? Or is it negligence? Or worse, deliberate. It could be deliberate. So because if the penalties are just pennies, you know, you will be benefiting more than what you're paying. It becomes deliberate. Comprehendo? So, yeah. I want to talk about this self-scoring aspect for a moment. I didn't get into it a little bit more. The minister says companies will score themselves, you know, but the ministry will use those scores to make decisions. That's what the minister says. And now, I don't know about you, but if my score determines whether I keep my multi-billion or multi-million dollar fishing rights, am I really going to give myself a 4 out of 10? Am I going to give myself a 4 out of 10 or a 3 out of 10? Or am I going to find some creative ways? I would definitely find some creative way to justify giving myself a 9. Wouldn't I do that? It's just human. It's just absolutely. Now, this self-scoring thing, I'm not too sure. How do we ensure this self, you know, this course, scorecard system is objective and transparent? How do we ensure that? Because if it is not, we are just creating a new way for well-connected companies to game the system. So here's what we need to remember, okay, my dear people, my dear Namibia, okay? Our fish belong to all of us. I say our fish belong to all of us. So they are a national, you know, resources. They are national resources. When a government gives our fishing rights, So when a government give out fishing right, it's not doing companies a favor. So they are not doing companies a favor. It is entrusting them with our collective wealth. That's our collective wealth. So, and if the company is not performing, you know, so the standards should be very higher. Yeah? The standards should be very high. The accountability should be real. And the benefit should be very clear. It should be very clear. So, but, and this is important, the rules also need to be, okay, I'm on the other side also, trying to balance this whole thing. So, the rule has to be fair as well, you know. It has to be fair, it has to be workable. You know, something that people can be able to. So, if the fishing industry can't operate profitably under the regulations, that doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help anyone. So we need a fishing sector that is both responsible and, of course, sustainable, because that's what we need. It's getting hot here. All right, that's exactly what we need. So, yeah. And for me, okay, I would like you to really consider that, to consider that broader, bigger picture, that bigger perspective. And so here I'm going to leave you with some questions, okay? I want you to consider based now on what we discussed, just for you to really consider what should, okay, number one, okay, should underperforming fishing companies lose their rights? Okay. Should they lose their right? And what should underperforming mean? What also that mean? Okay. So what are those to say for us now to say this is underperforming? What does that mean? My second question is also on bycatch. So is the 2% bycatch rule realistic based on what we went through now, what the minister says, what the confederation said, the industry saying, or does it show a lack of understanding about how fishing actually works? Now, is the 2% bycatch rule realistic, or does it show a lack of understanding about how fishing actually works? So I'm actually directing your discussion here, where if you have to come through, or just help you think a little bit more. And my third question is, can we trust companies to score themselves honestly? Or do we need to, do we, for me, or do we need independent auditors? For me, is the latter. I think we need independent auditors, not a self-scoring kind of a system. I would go for independent auditors. You know, so for quality, I mean, for transparency, and accountability. And I have two more questions. This is just to help us. I'm trying to, you know, have a focus on some of the highlights, some of the things that we discuss. Are we doing enough to ensure that fishing rights benefit ordinary Namibians? So through maybe through jobs, through affordable fish, you know, are our fish affordable through economic growth? So that's what I want you to discuss. That's what I want you to think. So is this the beginning of a real reform? Now, this whole announcement, is this now the beginning of a real reform in our fishing industry? Or is it just a political theater, if you like, that won't change much on the ground anyway? So we have seen that before. So that's why we make that comment. So you're most welcome. Please, you're welcome to come through. It's your turn now. This is your turn. This is your fishery. These are your resources. What do you think? So the line's open now. Call in. Let's unpack this together. Let's unpack this together, because at the end of the day, The fish in our waters are swimming in Namibia, in Namibian territory. But the question is, who really benefit when they are caught? Are the Spanish people or the Namibian? So that's a question, my dear. So come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66-091. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. 0833-66-091. So what is your opinion? As I said, this is your fishery. This is your resources. So what do you think? 0833-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
That's very true. That's very true. This is your number one talk radio station in the land and probably in the world. So good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, we have been talking about the announcement of the Minister of Fisheries regarding some new rules and also looking at that. If companies are not performing, you know, those who have fishing right, the fishing right holders, if they are not, you know, if they are not performing, so should we withhold? Should we, you know, should we continue renewing, you know, their license? Should they lose their rights? So should underperforming fishing companies lose their right? That's the question I'm asking for you. And what should underperforming actually mean? So the other thing is we're talking about bycatch, the 2% bycatch. That the cabinet approved passed last year. It was last year. So is the 2% bycatch rule realistic? Do you think is that realistic? Or maybe that shows that the people who make those decisions don't understand, lack understanding about how fishing actually works according to the fishing industry. So, and the whole question of the whole now, the introduction of the company to score themselves, you know, so that their right can be renewed or, you know, or terminated. Can we trust company to score themselves honestly? So would you trust that you, if it were you, would you honestly, you know, score yourself honestly? Or do we speed or do we need, independent auditors? As I said, for me, I would actually go for independent auditors for credibility and also accountability and transparency. So all those. So, yeah, and looking at this reform, you know, is this now the beginning of a real reform to transform in our fishing industry? Or, well, like many other reforms that we have seen that come and gone, or is this just a political, you know, NTN, you know, while things still remain the same on the ground? All right. So what do you think? So you can come through, have your say, you have your contribution. Our time, it's about 1 minute. 1 minute to nine. It's going to be 9 o'clock in a second. In, you know, it's around 59 minutes past the hour of eight. So our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So do come through. Do come through and have your, what is your take? What is your, as I said, what is at stake? What is really at stake? This is our resources, and every resource is actually limited. So there should be some rules, and the reasons why we have unemployment, we have, you know, these are some of the sectors that's been, you know, mismanaged, if you like, mismanaged, and many people who have been working in this sector suffered for a couple of years because of corruption and all and so on. So yeah, we shouldn't just leave things to, you know, to the leaders and said, well, they know the best. They know the best for us. No. So we should be on it. We should be on it. And we bring it to you now for you to understand what is going on and to make sure that you have your eyes on. You demand accountability and transparency. So, yep, 08333-66091. It's the number you can dial, you can call to talk to me. All right. So, yeah, what do you think? Please do come through and have your say. 08333-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha, utekirokaguna, I matina, omjo. Chikawa shafasana nana, longeshifa, ya, shiwike moshiwana. I moyao, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anageshifa, ya Namibia, ombitomba na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe, yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, ladies and gentlemen and others. We have to be very inclusive. So for those non-binary, those who may not know where they are, where do they stand? They look at themselves and they don't know what do they have? All right. Welcome to Eagle FM. This is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike, Oshovedi. And, we were unpacking the announcement that was done by the Minister of Agriculture, Inke. So, yeah, on the new system that they want to introduce, scoring system that they want to introduce, and also, some regulations, when it's come to fishing, you know, when it's come to the fishing, to the fishing industry. So, yeah, what is your take? What do you think? What are your opinion? So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. So otherwise, let's look at another interesting push by the Emerging Mining Association of Namibia. This is a story appeared in our in the Villager. So last week something important happened. The Emerging Mining Association of Namibia, EMAN, for short, sat down with the Ministry of Industries and Mines and Energy. And they, well, they didn't just come to chat. They were not just there kind of like, hey, let's have a cup of coffee and have a chat. No, they came with a shopping list, kind of like, yeah, they came with a shopping list and kind of like a wish list. Yeah, no, not a shopping list. It's a wish list if you want, okay? And at the top of that list, and the top of that list is a simple but powerful idea. Eh? Simple but a powerful idea. Let Namibian do the work that Namibians can do. Do you understand what I mean? Let Namibian do the work that Namibians can do. There are works Namibian that can do, but why are you giving that work, you know, to foreigners or to someone else? Yeah, to foreigners. So that's what we're looking at. Let's unpack that together. Okay. So you are a small scale miner in Karibib or in Omaruru. You have got a claim. You have worked hard. You have sweat in the sun. You have dug. You have crushed stones. You have found something valuable. Maybe lithium, maybe rare earth minerals, maybe something else the world is hungry for, you know, especially things that are the world are hungry for nowadays. But here's the issue. Before you can sell what you have found, someone needs to certify it. Someone else needs to certify it. Certified, right? Someone need to tell you, someone need to tell the buyer, yes, this is real. Okay? So someone have to sell to say that, okay, this is real. Okay? This is the quality you are paying for. So it's not you who doing that. Someone else actually doing that. And right now, that someone is often not a Namibian. Is often not a Namibian. That someone is often sitting somewhere either in South Africa or in Europe or somewhere overseas. Okay. Not necessarily in Europe, but somewhere overseas. So what happens? You wait. You pay international fees. You watch your profit actually shrink. And the knowledge, the skill, and the expertise, it doesn't stay here. It lives with the expert who fly in and fly out, you know? Now, the EMAN's president, Tekla Mutero, is saying enough is enough. Eh? Opuo? No, I'm not talking about Opuo in the Kunene regions. It's enough. Enough is enough. So his message is Tekla Mutero. Her message. It's a woman, most Tekla. Yeah. So her message is clear. Okay. We need to build this capacity here at home. We need geological services. We need certification labs. So that's the message. We need processing facilities and crusher that our miners can actually access without jumping through the hoops and crossing borders. So that's the message. Now, before we go any further, let's ask the obvious question. Well, is this just about convenience? Or is there something deeper going on here? All right? Is there something deeper going on here? Just think about it. Now, so I think the deeper issues you and I know and hear this much often is about value addition. Here is where, and now, you know, this is not just about making life easier for small miners. All right? So this is about something Namibia has talked about for years. Value addition. value addition. You know, when you speak about something more and more and more, you know, the more you speak about it, in some sense, the more it becomes something you're used to and you're not bothered anymore. It doesn't mean anything anymore. So we have been hearing value addition until you kind of like exhausted, you know, because you don't exhausted by just hearing it. And you come to a point where you kind of like, not again. Okay. Because I don't see anything that is happening. And we keep saying value addition. Okay. So let me put it simple terms, in a very, very, very simple terms, in terms of the story that we're following. Now, right now, we dig up raw material, ship them out. We are like a farmer, okay, who grow tomatoes but never make tomato sauce. Okay? So we grow tomatoes and we never make tomato sauce. We hand over the raw goods and someone else does the processing, the refining, the packaging, and guess what? That's where the real money is made. That is where the real money is made. And we are too, I don't know. What do you think? And we are too, you have the word. No, value addition means we stop being just the supplier. We have heard this for years. We become the processor. We are the one who processing, the refiner, the certifier, which they are looking for. Eh? We create jobs here. That's why we have massive people unemployed. We build expertise here. We keep the profit here. Eh? And if you're a lawmaker, I hope you're listening. Make sure the laws that you make help us to do that. Let's see what we have, the column. Good morning. Welcome to an Unpacking.
Morning, my guy.
I'm okay, man. Yourself?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fishing right. Equipment or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember some years back.
Yeah.
When those fishermen, I don't know whether they are also fisherwomen, I don't know.
And there should be. There should be fisherwomen.
Yeah. So those ones who were actually trained some years back,
yeah,
and I know very well that it was due to political influence, political fighting, and all these other things.
Yeah,
it has become a geo-economic issue.
Mm.
So this time around, I don't know how many they are there, or whether they are still unemployed, or they are still at Okapale where they used to be. But initially,
there was something done. They were not taken, all of them, but there was, I think, 2 years ago, a year ago. I'm not remember exactly, but there was something. There were some were taken, but not all of them. Not everyone was taken.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we want all of them to be absorbed into employment.
Exactly.
And the directive was given that all those companies who were accorded with the fishing rights, quotas, they should be striving to absorb and employ those people.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure whether they have done that or they are still doing that. But the issue is, if the companies were afforded, fishing rights.
Yeah.
Or cotton. I don't know which one is which. So they should, they are expected to employ those people.
Yeah.
And many a times, those people, they always come and give an excuse after they have acquired those fishing rights.
Yeah.
So what are they doing actually?
One of the issue, just to add to what you're saying, is that, you know, one of the issues that And they're really problems. So they get fishing rights, and they actually sell them or lease them to bigger company who have equipment, who have vessels, who have whatever. So they become just a middleman. And sometimes these bigger companies are international companies, and they have their own people. You know.
You see, Those are things that you need to monitor.
Yeah.
If you are given quotas, and you still want to bring in your own people, instead of looking at those vulnerable ones,
yeah.
That's where we need to get in and perhaps put some kind of restriction.
Yeah, the minister is trying to, they are trying their very best, actually. I think, and we should appreciate some of the regulation they are putting in place, but the whole problem is, the problem in Namibia, it's enforcement, it's implementation, you know, that's the issue, yeah.
Yes, if they are giving that directive and you cannot implement those plans, then you should be forced to comply.
That's the thing.
Because the reason why you got those quotas, you have actually mitigated or motivated your way in to get those quotas, that you are going to employ these people, you are going to do these other things. And if you deviate from that original plan, then your rights can be, you know, can be taken away.
Yeah.
Because you are not complying with it.
Mm. There are a lot of them that are coming towards the end of this, towards the end of 2026, because it's been about 10 years. And then the renewal is coming actually toward of this. Quite a lot of that need to be renewed or something like that. Hopefully we see some maybe new entrants or, you know, really those who are not performing being, you know, revoked, their rights actually taken away or not being renewed again, Mayor.
I was moving that Shagatia Matara or Ndangwas and most of this Matara where they really have women who normally buy fish.
Yeah.
When I was looking for I saw them in the newspaper yesterday or the day before yesterday. And then they seem to, because they are very scarce here, they are not around. Yeah. I mean, you can't see them anymore.
But you see, Uncle Bwana, this is now the cheapest the low quality fish, if you like, you know. We don't see the kingfish, the mackerel, the hake. You know,
those ones are expensive. Those ones are expensive. Talking about the one that we are used to, and our people here are used to, and they are light.
Do you know why they're expensive? It's because the those who are actually, it's because of the market in Europe. So because of the market in Europe, it becomes now expensive for us to afford. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So because now much of the fish is being caught out and then sold to the market in Europe. And then because the market is so higher, that's why it becomes expensive for us even.
Oh, you see, because one thing again before we end,
yeah.
I remember there was a young man some years back,
yeah.
Who is having a garden in Okahanja. He's producing tomatoes, he's producing those onion and things like that. And he interviewed here on Eagle FM, and then he was telling us that yes, when I was producing this vegetable and tomatoes and other things, I did not know where to access the market.
Yeah.
And eventually he perhaps went to the coast and he found companies who could team up with him.
Yeah.
He was now saying that yes, my tomatoes are no longer getting rotten.
Yeah.
Because we formed up a joint venture with some company in Varisby.
Yeah.
We are now converting these tomatoes and onions into tin fish.
Oh, okay.
And we were asking him, how did you do that?
Yeah.
He goes, and then he said, yes, I just negotiated. I went there and now my tomatoes are no longer rotten and we are now producing tin fish. And I believe more company could come into that area. Remember yesterday we were talking about Amafuma.
Yeah, yeah.
And Amafuma is a big project. If we can diversify our economic activity into that area, which is already an agriculture, and the agriculture is regulated by an act of parliament.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I was just thinking that those, even if you come to Ndangwa here now,
yeah,
tomatoes and onions and those boys are selling. And some of them that are not sold, they will definitely go west, go bad.
Yeah.
But when are we going to now say, fine, this is agriculture that's coming, we have got the Mafuma, we have got these other ones. But some of these companies that are given this fishing rights, they also do not go beyond that. Mm. They just want to export those fish and then this value addition
yeah.
is not going to take place.
Yeah.
Because suppose somebody is supposed to now say, yes, if I'm tilling the field and then the, what is what I'm producing
mm.
after the project production, and this the value chain continues.
Yeah, exactly. So the problem sometimes is it's here where, let's say for example, a company looking at, you know, for me, in the long run, it would work. In the long run to say, let me put up a processing plant and then in the long run, that would work. It benefit even the company. But they're looking at the money they're putting in it from a startup, building the infrastructure, you know, getting the machine and all that. They're looking at that and said, wow, that's going to cost me a lot. And then is it easier to build up a plant than actually exporting this to companies in Europe or to or wherever or Asia? So then realize that's the easiest way to do. That's the easiest way to make money. And that's why value addition, it's a challenge. It's a very, very big challenge, even if we're talking about it, because of where the market is, you know? Yeah.
I think if that is become a challenge, there's also some kind of incentive, isn't it? If, for example, you now say, yes, I only need some machines
yeah.
to process these things. I need some storages to store these things before they are exported, they're unfinished. So I think that they are just acting like these small miners, mining,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So they are also complaining and say, yes, fine. With the only option that we have is just to sell our license.
Yeah.
But when you sell your license, you are also like selling your own people.
Yeah,
because the people who are supposed to be employed to do those kind of processing are now left out. And then when the fish or whatever raw materials are exported,
yeah.
that means you are actually creating employment for other people in the other country where you are exporting the things.
That's exactly the point. That the reason why we have high unemployment is exactly this approach.
The law yeah. must just take its course. You must enforce the law.
Yeah.
If you say yes, you can only export this number of tons
yeah.
out. The rest that you're able to benefit these unemployed people can be processed here. I think it can be done. If we do not enforce the law, then who is going to do it for us? It's ourselves. Yeah.
That's the question. That's the challenge that we need to give to our lawmakers and really hold them accountable. The law
is already enacted. It is up to us who are implementing the law. Because if the law is enacted in parliament, and then it's now come to us here for us to implement the issues, so it is then up to us.
Yeah,
the law is already made.
Yeah, the law is made, and definitely you're right. It's up to us, and sometimes it's who is supervised. That means the people that we are implementing, the supervisor, people, managers, and everybody who should making sure that this should be implemented. We are the one who are failing, and someone needs to make that decision to say, look, you're not doing your job. Like now what the minister said, if the company is not actually adding value, to the industry, get rid of it. That's exactly what we want.
Get rid of it. Get rid of it is one way of bringing them to account.
To enforce, yeah, to account, yes. Exactly, yeah.
So thank you, Mike, for that opportunity.
All right, thank you for coming, Tria.
Yes,
yeah, value addition. Value addition, my dear. Value addition. So what we have been talking about years and years and years and years, you know? Yeah, so we're good at talking. Very, very, very good at talking. And some surprising, and I sometimes when I'm listening to ministers, and I was listening to a minister, and I wasn't talking to my daughter, or was it my daughter talking to me or something? It doesn't matter, we're talking to each other anyway. So when you listen to a leader, you know, one thing that I always, when they talk about of what's supposed to happen. So let's say, for example, you know, the boreholes, for example, okay? I'm trying to think of something quickly on top of my head. You know, we have a problem of water supply in that particular village or so. So, and the person, the leader is talking about what's supposed to happen rather than actually come to you and said, look, this is what is going to happen. So you're actually talking like me, kind of like in a suggestive manner where you talk as if you're not in charge. And normally what we want as citizens from the leader is actually someone who's telling us, okay, this is what's going to happen. All right? So that's what we need to say. Even said, at this point in time, we don't have money, but what we're going to, you know, that we are going to look money. We're going to resource money, and by probably give us 3 years or 2 years so that we can be able to do that. This is in the plan. The plan is like A, B, C, D, and this is what's going to happen. Sometimes you just have ministers or executive directors or whatever, officials telling you, talking like us, more, you know, in a suggestive way, what could happen. And if this happened, this is what would, you know. Yeah, talking about we need to process things here. We need to process things in Namibia. We need to add value. Tell us that this is what, okay, there is a law in place, but this is what we expect something to happen. So from now on, we need to see this and this and this and this. This is what is going to happen. That's what a leader does. Eh? Papers that are there, good law, but they are not being implemented. It doesn't help anything anyway. So, and this is where the imams call it a nev. Eh? Where it is a nev. Because if we can't even certify our own minerals without sending them overseas, how are we supposed to move up the value chain that Uncle Bwana mentioned? Yeah. How are we supposed to move up the value chain if we can't even certify our own minerals? Yeah. It's pathetic if you are listening. Yeah. It's like trying to bake a cake, but outsourcing the recipe to someone in another country. You will never learn. Eh? You will never learn because you're outsourcing the recipe to someone else. You know, you will never own the process. You are not owning the process at all. Eh? So now, Minister Modestu Amte responded to Imam's submission, and he said something that should make us all really all sit up and kind of like, okay, the thing AP. You know, he said the government can't do this alone, which is true. That meaning collaboration with people on the ground, people who know the dust and the drills, you know, is essential. That's very, 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 very essential. So, and I think from the minister, that's actually a refreshing admission, you know, to hear someone who said, look, we can't do this alone. So we need your help. It's a refreshing admission, I must say, you know, because for years, policy in Namibia has sometimes felt like it is written in air-conditioned offices, you know, by people who have never, never set foot on a mining claim, you know? But AMSA is acknowledging the reality. So if you want policy that works, you need input. You need input from the people those policies affect. Yeah? You need input from them. That's only how it's going to work. Let's use our brain a little bit, okay? Let's think a little bit critically. Is the government genuinely ready? Also another question. Is it genuinely ready to collaborate? Or is it just a talk? Sometimes it's just, we need to collaborate, but are they ready to collaborate? So what happened to, do you hear anything anymore about the public-private partnership forum? You know, I thought it's on me. If there are things that are going on that we, and you know, sometimes it's the people that are, are selected, you know, are part of this. Maybe it's just happening. It's just taking place in the offices. As I said, in those, air conditioned offices, you know, and people are not actually getting there, you know, they are not setting their feet in area where they need to. So when I'm talking about cooperation, that's why, what was the forum is all about? Is to initiate this kind of thing. Is the government genuinely ready to cooperate? And more importantly, even if the will is there, do we have the resources to build the local? Now, this is what now the people are the imams are, the is saying. So do we have the resources to build local geological and certification service from the scratch? From the very scratch, do we have that resources? Do we have the resources to do that? So I think we have to get real. Building local capacity sounds great. Sometimes when you talk about it, it sounds great on the paper, but what does it actually take? What does it take? You know? When you're talking about now, first you need some kind of trained geologist. Well, hopefully we do have some. How many geologists we have? I was so shocked the other time when, you remember there was a shortage of specialists. A shortage of specialists in medical field. You know? Where you have, for the whole country, you have one what? I can't remember now. but you have one, you know, the person, there's, as said, the, this word always, difficult for, not difficult, but the that puts you to sleep. I forget the word. The thing, aesthetic? Yeah, no. You know? One. The whole country specialist. So when we're talking about this now, building local capacity, as I said, on the paper it's very easy. So, but we need trained geologists, we need qualified technicians, we need certified labs that meet the international standard. You know, you need equipment, expensive equipment, you know, higher tech equipment. You know, you need accreditation so that when a Namibian lab certifies a mineral, buyers in London or Beijing actually trust that certification. Do you understand? So, do we? That's, I'm asking, do we have the capacity? Eh? Do we actually have the capacity and the means to build that capacity? And that sometimes that's why I'm saying, asking the question, are we just talking about corporations or do we really, you know, think this is something that we can do? And well, and this is not something that you can do overnight. You can't do this overnight. It takes years. Do we see initiative? It takes years. It takes investment. It takes political will. Yeah? But do we see that? That's why we are where we are, still talking about value addition. That's why where we are still talking about it. How many years we talk about this? Look at all our development plans, and the Harambee plans, and you know, of this world. So they're all there. And look at where we are. 5 years from now, we'll be saying the same thing. Or 10 years from now, we'll be saying the same thing over and over. So NTAs, now, this is where now the story gets a little bit, how is it, complicated? No, not complicated. So Namibia is a very small country. We are a very small country. Our population is just over 3 million people. So our budget is very tight, as we know, as you know. You have to put everything in perspective. So our budget is very tight. We are constantly balancing, you know, competing priorities. Always balancing. There's health here, there's education here, there's infrastructure, you name it, you know. So we're always balancing. So when Imam says, build us processing facilities and certification labs, the government might thinking, with what money? Well, they wouldn't say that to you anyway. They would say, well, we need to cooperate, we need to work together. But internally, they know with what money? With what money? But let's flip that question. Let's flip that question, really. That what is the cost of not doing it? What is the cost of not doing it? So every time we send a mineral sample overseas for certification, that's money leaving the country. Every time we rely on foreign experts, that is a missed opportunity to train our own people. Every time we export raw material instead of processed good, we are handing away jobs and profit, as Uncle Bonner said. We are handing over jobs and profit. So Iman is also raising another issue, a restriction on modern mining equipment. So they raised also another issue of restriction on modern mining equipment. So apparently, in a certain area designated as a mining claims, small-scale miners are limited in the kind of equipment they can use. So the result, definitely low productivity because they are not using the right equipment, and slow operation and less income. You understand? So now on the surface, these restrictions might seem reasonable. Maybe they are meant to protect the environment. You never know. And, or prevent large scales operation from, masquerading, you know, as a small scale ones. Sometimes you can have that. But Iman is arguing that with proper regulations, proper oversight, and that's underlined that word, you know, proper oversight, maybe modern equipment can be used safely and sustainably. That's specifically reference to this issue, you know. So, and they have a point. I think they have a point. If we seriously about supporting small-scale miners, we can't handicap them with outdated rules. You understand? We need smart regulations, not blanket bans. You ban something just, you know, and that happens. So if we can look at this from our from the lens of Namibia's legal and policy framework, you know, Namibia has, we have a Mineral Act, and we have environmental regulations, we have safety standards, and on paper, these are meant to protect both the workers and the land. You understand? So, but there's always a tension. There's always these tensions. Laws designed to regulate large mining companies don't always fit smaller scale operations. You know? So a big company can afford compliance afford compliance officers. You know, where they can afford to have a compliance officers, environmental consultant, big one can afford a legal team. You know, a small scale miner, not so much, not really so much. So if the same rule applies across the board, small miners get squeezed out. And who are squeezed out? These are Namibians. So they operate in a legal gray zone, or worse, they go informal. They go informal and completely outside the system. And that's not what we want. That is not exactly what we want. So Iman is advocating for a well-regulated modern mining techniques that recognize this difference. Okay? They are saying, hey, don't treat us like we are Rio Tinto, you know, or De Beers. Don't treat us that we are, you know, we are there. So we are smaller, but that it doesn't mean we are less, you know, we are less serious. So give us rules we can actually follow. That's what they're asking. So now let's connect this note to Namibia's broader development vision. Okay. So our national development plans, you know, NDP 5, because that's that in NDP 5, now NDP 6, all this talk about industrialization, job creation, economic diversification. They talk about moving away from reliance on raw material export. They talk about beneficiation. Well, as the people say, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. If we don't invest in the infrastructure and the capacity to actually do the beneficiation, talk is cheap. It's words on the paper, you know, and most of the time we hear that it's the words on the paper. Show us. There are some, you know. So, but Iman is essentially holding the government accountable to its own promises. Okay? They are saying, you have told us you want value addition. Fine. Here is what we need to make that happen. They're giving them, this is what we need to do to make that happen. Now, the ball is in your court. Yeah, they're also, when you have to think about this, well, for my side, I'm looking at this on a human level as well, because at the end of the day, this is not just about policies, okay, and percentages. It's about people. Yeah, it's about people. So imagine you are a young Namibian with a degree in geology. Okay. You have your degree in geology and you are passionate about your country's natural resources. But when you graduate, where do you go? Where do you work? Where do you go to work? If there are no local labs, as this is what they demand, if there are no local labs, no local certification services, you might actually end up working, you know, working for a foreign company. Well, which is not bad. But that's not the point we are trying to make. Or you might leave Namibia altogether, you know, taking your skills somewhere else. Yeah. Do you understand? So now imagine you are a small scale, or maybe you are a small scale, a scale miner, trying to provide provide for your family. So you are stuck everything on your claim. But you can't afford the fees to get your mineral. Now, you can now, you know, you want your mineral to be certified, but you can't afford it. You want it actually certified because it needs to be certified now outside the country, overseas. So what do? So you sell them at a discount to a middleman who takes advantage of your desperation. So your hard work actually, your hard work enriches someone else, not yourself. So you get actually peanut from your hard work. So these are the stakes. So this is why Imam's advocacy matters. It really matters because it's when you look at it, this is not something abstract. It is about whether Namibians can truly benefit from the wealth buried beneath their own soil. Can we, you know, benefit from our own resources? And let's be honest, there is a historical dimension here. There's historical dimension. For years, Namibia resources were extracted by colonial power. We gained independence in 1990, but economic independence, that's a long journey. I think that is a long, long, long journey. And I don't know who is gonna help us to achieve it. It's a long journey. So we are still actually fighting to control our own wealth. Eh? So we still fight it to control. Control, I'm talking about control our own wealth, to retain value within our own borders. Can you imagine that? And Iman's called, what they call is for local services, you know. It's part of that fight, okay? It's a push for economic sovereignty, and which everyone should be, you know, fighting. So it's saying we don't want to be perpetual suppliers. Who want to be perpetual suppliers? Eh? We don't want to be a perpetual suppliers. We want to be owners. When are we going to be owners? Eh? Unake. When are we going to be owners? When are we going to be processors? You know, the processors. When are we going to be beneficiaries? Eh? That is the question. So our time is 47 minutes past the hour of 9. We still have a couple of minutes before we hand over to Tate Naluvanda. He's not yet here. So who will be coming with Kutha Mosha around 10 o'clock. So stay tuned for that. It's always a very explosive and exciting show that coming up around 10 o'clock. So make sure that you tune in. You stay tuned in here on Eagle FM. All right? All right. So let's be fair, okay? Now, let's be a little bit, let's be fair. Not everyone will agree with Imam's proposal. You know, so let's consider some counter argument. All right? You know, as I said, so some might say building local capacity is too expensive. As I said earlier on, as I was talking to, you know, to Uncle Bwana, said it could building capacity, local capacity is too expensive. You know, we should use existing international service until we can afford our own. That could be an argument. There is logic to that. So why reinvent, as people say, why reinvent the wheel? You know, when we can just be able to, you know, to use the international services. But the counterpoint is, if we keep waiting until we can afford it, I think we wait forever. You understand? I think we will wait forever. So sometimes you just have to, you know, to invest upfront, you know, even if it's painful. As I said, as startups, you know, when you start, when you invest initially, it's going to be painful because the long-term payoff, it's going to be worth it. That's going to be worth it. And I think that's the risk that we are not taking enough. That is the risk we are not taking enough. If it's calculated and we know that in the long term it's going to pay off, it's worth it. You understand? So, and others might worry about quality. You know, that's also something we always, you know, that's why we end up actually taking foreigners. Can Namibian labs really compete with established international ones? Yes, we want that, but can we compete, you know, with international ones? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. International labs have decades of experience and reputations. So, but here's the thing. So expertise has to start somewhere. So even those international, you know, with a lot of experience and reputation, they started somewhere. So we got to start. We got to start somewhere. If we never invest in our own labs, we will never build that reputation. We will never build that reputation. So we need to start somewhere. And I think the call from Iman is really, really important. And there's the environment and safety angle as well. There's also that environment and safety angle. Some critic might say, well, if we give small scale miners access to modern equipment, they will cause environmental damage. That could be also a legitimate concern. So, yeah, had that. But Iman isn't asking for a free, it's not like they're asking for a free for all or some kind of something. All right. Very good morning.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. I didn't follow much, but and I hear the capacitor. Okay.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about the our small miners asking for to do certain things that they can be able to do. They want that, you know, certification done here because sometimes certificates are done outside. And processing of their
product,
of their product and things like that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but, yeah. So those ones, they were supposed to be included with the investment board.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that they can know who they are already, kind of their product. Because once you are digging this thing and you don't know really who is in need of this product, it's a problem because you have to bump into the middlemen.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you have to, and the most of the people that are coming to Africa.
Yeah.
Most of them, they are middlemen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they are the startup with the finance and those who are now know where these products are needed. So it's very tough for those small scales to know, who is really in need of gold.
Yeah.
Unless you just go to the Canadian company, sell it there, on peanuts. But for you to get
it's the Canadian company who actually going to tell you the value of what you're selling.
Not yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And what they know, what also something that I find in the industries that the Western, they have strong, China supply management, which is also hitting the Chinese market.
Yeah.
Cause if you look at the Chinese market, the most of these people that the manufacture, they just manufacture one thing on time. And then if you follow them tomorrow, you're not finding them doing that anymore.
Hmm.
So because of the that's a supplier of the product that is made with those things. So at the end of the day in Africa, it's hard for you because they are protecting those people. Remember, if they are, for example, if you look at the oil product, the people that are making tires, they are the one that is making those fan belt and all of those product.
Yeah.
They've been protected by the supplier of oil. It's what I'm saying, for you to getting a gold company that refining those products, nobody will allow you to connect it with that one. He will just tell you that, no, me, I've already have a contract for 20 years with this company. Maybe you talk to this one.
Yeah, but sometimes when you're looking at the organization like this are crying for capacity building and all that, sometimes maybe the government looking at that, you know, capacity building could be very expensive, and we have existing international services that because we're talking in terms of value additions. And sometimes you kind of like, you know, really to start with the capacity building, you need to as an investment that you're talking about, we need to have a huge investment to be able to build up the infrastructure, buy the equipment and all that. While we still have actual international companies, the service of international companies, it's much easier. It gives us easy money, you know. So, and that's why could be a problem to add value addition sometimes.
Yeah, it could be a problem. So that's why if you look at Namibian government, for example, they don't invest in where they can get money.
Yeah.
They want to be participating in something difficult for them to make money.
Yeah.
And that is what I'm saying. The investment board is the one that have been introducing those small scale to the big players in the world.
Yeah.
So they need to be communicated. The investment board, Memewanja, needed to communicate with this type of people.
Yeah.
That, okay, this is the bypass that we need. So those people that are coming to us and telling us that they want to come and mining marbles or what those stones that are getting in Caribbean there and what.
In the Maruri,
so they need just to come and buy. You understand? Not to come and mining. So you need to put in that people. That is what I'm advising to say. If you're having some pretended that you are getting from those local participants,
yeah,
you are making millions of money. And that money, remember the money that I got by those small-scale mining, it's invested in the country.
Yeah.
But those ones, that's why Memenetumbo and his agents need to talk seriously that, okay, these players that we are letting them come and them, they have more connection than the local one.
Than the local one, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are now the thing that no matter we got money and we're giving this small scale to starting come up with their own refinery, with their own washing, what.
Yeah.
Those players, they will not buy their product.
Exactly, because of the quality. Eh? Because we need to think, can Namibian lab really compete now with established international ones?
Yeah. And the Chinese that we are talking about, Chinese have no chain. The chain is most important thing in everyone. Industry.
Yeah.
On trading industry. If you don't have a chain, if you don't have somebody who have connection with the owner of the manufacturer,
yeah,
you will not selling your product.
Exactly.
And you just sell maybe to the cheetah one. Like diamond cheetahs who are having connection with the BRs, and then they tell you that the diamond is no more value, what. So he's telling you a lot of stories because he want to make money out of you. So those are the problems that Memewanja need to understanding those things, and even president need to understanding that. So to allowing us these people to come in, and that is what it was happened to Tatenuoma medicine, starting with fishing industry. He were not wanted those fisher to come and fishing, vessels to come and fishing. No.
Yeah.
He wanted those one who are coming to teaching us how to do this thing.
Exactly. And where did we lose that? Where did we lose that approach? Somehow we lost that approach. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the government advises us. And it's a big story. It's also, because people, they know, they will just undermining those small scale to say, where are you going to sell your product?
Mm.
And that answer is in the government, not in me.
Yeah.
Me, I don't know what is going on outside. Unless you go with me and show me outside that this is what is outside.
Mm.
If you go to Scandinavian countries, there is a lot of those company that is doing this recycling.
Yeah.
They are no more participating in the mining because there's not. The mining, there is big players. Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and British, and those are the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
They are got money from their governments. You cannot compete with them. No matter you go to the bank, to DBN, you have a beautiful proposal, but those companies, they come with their own machine and say, no, we want to do on our own.
Yeah.
And we are selling the EPL in this country. We are giving to those EPL, yes, is expensive to get, and these people, they are selling to those big players. And these small scales, they kick it out.
Exactly.
So that is where the problem, and the government must start investing in the profitable project in the country.
Mm. Well, we need to start somewhere, definitely. So
that we can make money from now in 20 years time.
Exactly.
We might end up those billions of dollars.
Mm.
But if you think you can take those resources, those projects, you know that those projects where people are investing their money, the FDI are investing their money, and at the end of the day you are changing the system to say, you know, it's our resources. You will be beaten like Maduro. Because them, they are expecting to making money in 100 years out of that, what they putting in their... Because it's not our money, it's their government money. And if you look at the Chinese companies that are investing in Africa, they are using the state money. They are not using from their bank. Most of the big projects that they are invested, that they are participating by the Chinese, are not from their individual.
Yeah.
They are come from the government. And the government is relying on that forever. So those are the things that we need also to understand, that who are these FDI?
Yeah. So we are stealing time from the other program.
Okay, man.
Thanks for coming through, man. You're welcome.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
All right, my dear listeners. That our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of 10, and that's bringing us to the end of, you know, of unpacking the day. So listeners, you might be thinking, why should we care about geological services and certificate labs? Now, maybe you are not a miner, and maybe you have never held a piece of raw lithium in your hand. So, but here's the connection. A stronger mining sector means a stronger economy. It means more job, not just in mining, but in logistics, in service, in manufacturing. It means more tax revenues, which can fund schools, can fund hospitals. It means young Namibians don't have to leave the country to find opportunity. So it means we control our own destiny and a little bit more. So now Imam's calls for local capacity is a real call for self-reliance. It's a reminder that that independence is not just political, it is economic. It is economic, and an economic independence requires skills, it requires infrastructure, it requires it's the courage to invest in ourselves, as the caller was just saying now. So, and that brings us to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day. This morning, I'm going to hand over to Tate Nalovan. Tate Nalovan, good morning.
Morning, Tate Mike.
So how are you this morning?
I'm very fine.
You're very fine.
Mm.
Okay. Any, what are we looking forward to today? In Kuthamosha?
Atukapapisa uteku.
Uteku ngowa mumbowa vene vene. Okay.
Oh, perfect watara. Aba dali nako wanifuwa kutekula.
Yeah.
Oh, ta tekula ndebola. Wanileo kutekula unona wakakarepo mongula.
Tate kulondebula. O chikwatere akulie. Olienta chota tate kulondebula.
Ochotara ko ko igemono le umbato lo mabibi le pipieti ne lipatara.
Yeah. All right. Si
anwe bifi ate kulwali ba. Ba tilovano.
Yeah.
Nenge bafimane ke.
Mm.
Okana konena kake na sheno nkulunwa liko shipunjo take shikufa kugende taka kutumba.
Yeah.
Evito duro kucha shimashiri ya posho mkuruno shwa haa.
Ya. Osho otashe tashike nana ne moshuwana.
Osho hashe tashe shashi una tukunda fanini mai.
Ya.
O vadari wa mwe ndishi haveshe tuwa kara na kuruno. Haveshe tuwa kara tuli na kurupe. O naro kwali ya kuningwa ye hungi. Paife ese chomutu na kuhungireni.
Ya.
Muna iko TV. No katu natatarwa hunona. Ngene ngengi tatu ngengi kundafana diringa.
Yeah.
Atu kia angatu enova ngengi nanu itate kuruwa vatilo wa kwa wafi maneke. Ne mwenyo hiduli kitatu kakarana. Shoshu wete shishi ilinena. Otulimo ngwei na kashima anu. Tapu wanataka nifumari kwa wo.
Mm.
Moro vano wa kwa ondita. Anu itate lari ina mwenyo. Yeah. Ina mwenyo alito tilina uiduli fova.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So ano igale femo aningo olupale lo hongi.
No.
Yeah, so, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, let me say my goodbyes and allow Tate Nalumanda to come through. And you, as you can see, you know, the topic that's going to be discussed is very, 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 very interesting. So let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on Eagle FM at starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow. So for me, Mike Oshaveni, it's a goodbye for now.